So Genesis 28. Are you doing good this morning? Are you enthusiastic? Passionate about life? How passionate about life are you? If you at the moment would go, yeah, no, I'm really, really passionate about life, why don't you just stand up? Don't stand up if you aren't, but if you are, passionate about life. Some of you aren't sure. You're going, what does that mean? I can see you. What does that mean? I just threw that out there. I'm going to pray for the people that are standing. Okay, here we go. Put your hands like this. Father, right now, I thank you for every person that's standing. Lord, I thank you for that passion for life, Father, the purpose that you've got them on. And Father, I pray for a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit, that you give them more energy than they've ever had before in their life. Lord, that they would see you move in their life more than they've ever seen. Father, Lord, that you would just touch them afresh. I thank you for each one of them. I pray in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Amen. Okay. Why were some of you sitting down? That's just a question I'm going to put out for you today. That's your question. Why am I sitting down? Why am I not passionate about life? What is that? Where's that come from? Okay. Changing direction now. I just want to pray. And I really feel we need to pray for anybody who's sick. And we're going to anoint them with oil. So if you are sick, you're not well, if you've got anything in your body, physical, that's not well, why don't you come and just stand out here and we're just going to anoint you with oil. Okay? If you've been, over the last few weeks, I've been doing a series called You're in a Spiritual Battle. And one of the things I'm so conscious of all the time, and it's become a bit of my obsession, is that everything in our lives is connected spiritually and naturally. Everything. The natural and the spiritual are weaving together all the time in your life. And it's not compartmentalized. As Christians, we love putting things in compartments. Oh, this is my church compartment. This is my work compartment. This is my home compartment. This is my play compartment. Whereas they're all working together and interacting. And this is, I got a word for the people that are sick. Actually, if we can just move along a little bit so that everybody can get, I like one row, that's cool. We're going to anoint with oil. And for me, anointing with oil is about, it's a connection. It's a representative. We did communion before. Which was fantastic, which we take two physical elements, some bread and a cup, that helps us understand what's happened in the spiritual. When we anoint someone with oil, there is a physical contact of touching that makes it so that God works through it. I don't know how it always works, but I do know from reading my Bible that God works in the physical to affect the natural and in the natural to affect the spiritual. And so for healing this morning, that I'm going to get everybody stand up, because I go, the healing down here is affected by the people out there. We're all affecting it. Our faith, if you've heard me talk about Jesus, when he went to heal Jairus's daughter, he actually kicked a whole lot of people out. And he actually didn't even take half his disciples in. He only took three of his disciples. My belief is that he didn't want to take any unbelief in. There is an environment that we set where we begin to believe in God's word, where we go, right, I'm going to believe. When we begin to pray, that changes the atmosphere for healing to flow. And I believe healing is going to flow to everybody standing out here. What I also want while you're praying is that I want you to think of something. Ask God to give you something that is a point of physical contact that you need to do. What do I mean by that? I mean, you might go, as God, as you're standing there saying, God, what do you want me to do? The woman with the issue of blood, she reached out. Her word was she just needed to touch Jesus' garment. So she went out and she found him and she touched her and she got her healing. My question to you is, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? As I'm standing here, some of you need to just go have your own communion and maybe have communion every morning for 7 days. What is the thing that God says to you, you need to do? For some of you, God is actually going to give you someone that you need to go pray for. Your healing is connected to you praying for somebody else. What is it that God speaks to you? You know, one of the things that I love about God is that he's actually not boxed. It's about us all going, I can hear from the Holy Spirit and I'm going to do what God calls me to do. Now, you may find God does this thing and you go, well, I didn't get healed. I did this thing. And I would go back to God and go, well, what else do you want me to do? And he will keep giving you things along that way. And I just believe as you reach out and you touch and believe, God's going to heal you. We've got some people that have got some oil and they're going to come and anoint you. And everybody out there, you're just going to pick someone out here. I want you to, if you know the person, if you don't, just say, oh, that person in the blue there. And just pray, God, I pray that you heal them. You can reach your hand out, but you play an active part. Don't sit there, oh, I'm not involved in this. Yes, you're involved in this. Pick someone out here and just go, I'm going to pray for them. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for each one here. And Lord, as we anoint them with oil, Father, I pray for a miraculous impartation of your Holy Spirit to heal them right now where they are. Lord, no matter what sickness it is, no matter what it is, whether it's in their blood system, whether it's in an organ in their body, whether it's a muscle, whether it's to do with their bones, their nervous system, whether it's a virus, we just command it to go. And we believe for healing to flow right through their body, that strength would flow. And we come against the enemy that would try to stop them, hold them back, would try and make it so they can't do all that you've called them to do. And right now we pray for your healing power to flow through them. Come, Holy Spirit, flow through them, Lord Jesus. Touch them. Touch them where they are, Father. Let your Holy Spirit anointing touch them, Father. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, those anointing, can you just move quickly along and just anoint everybody? Just go, keep moving along so that everyone gets anointed. Holy Spirit, keep praying. Keep praying. It could be you up here. Keep praying. Thank God, I want you to heal that person. Touch that person. If you feel you've got a breakthrough for that person, move on to somebody else. But pray. Go, God, I pray you touch them. Even if you're just praying, I pray that they would be healed in Jesus' name. That's all you need to say. God, I pray that they would be healed in Jesus' name. That, Lord, in Jesus' name, that healing would flow in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Keep coming. Kelly, just go along real quick. It's not about the amount of time. It's the amount of just doing what God's called you to do and anointing. Anointing people. Lord, let your anointing and healing flow into people's bodies, into them. Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Let your power flow. Let your power flow. Let your anointing flow. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While they continue to pray, the other thing I felt was I saw people that had walls. And I felt the walls were to do with people's sense of connection with God. You feel like there's a wall between you and God. I believe God wants to break that wall down. So if that's you, just say, God, I want that wall break down. I want to connect with you afresh. Help me to connect with you afresh. The other was joy. I felt people going, I'm just not happy. And I believe the enemy has tried to steal your joy. And you need to go, I'm going to go after my joy. God, I'm going to go after joy. God, I need your joy in my life. I need your... In fact, what I can see is that the life... Well, the way life is stolen your joy. In fact, you've become negative and cynical. And negativity and cynicism takes away your joy. So Father, right now I pray for those people. Lord, people with walls. Lord, I pray they'd have a fresh connection with you. Lord, those that have lost their joy, Father. Lord, you say we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, I pray that they would have a fresh encounter of joy in their lives, that they would laugh more than they've laughed before, Father, that joy would fill their house, would fill their life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well done. Turn to the person next to you going, that was good, you prayed well. You did a good job, and you may be seated. Thank you. Hi, Max. Nice to have Max and Dorothy back. Hello. Nice to have you with us. Okay, the title of my message, There's More. There's more. There's more. You go, what do you mean there's more? There's more. There's more of God than you and I are at the stage where we know. There's more truth. There's more wisdom. There's more joy. There's more. There's more. There's more financial blessing. There's more. Too often we think pond. I know Eleanor was a pond, but I'm not talking about that pond. We think pond. We think God's limited. We think that, hey, this is it. We think pie mentality. Have you heard pie mentality? Pie mentality is there's only so much. Our world talks about it a lot. There's only so much. Pie mentality. There's only so much. But I don't believe God works by pond, or I don't feel that God is limited in any way. I feel it's all about river. It's about flow. Flow. Everything flows. So, you know, I've been talking lots about spiritual awareness. And in Genesis 28, 16, I feel to read it again. And I'm really on a war path. I don't know whether that's a good thing to be on, but I'm on a war path to try and get people thinking about Scripture more than they do. I want people to read the Bible, but I want you to digest it. I want you to get, and you know, for some of us, all we need to do is to get a Scripture every day and just think about that one Scripture. What does that mean? What does that mean in my life? And one of the ones I've been meditating on is this one in Genesis 28, verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, now, if you go back and read that, Jacob had this dream, this encounter with God that really affected him. And he woke up from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. I'm encouraging everybody to be constantly aware of God. Are you constantly aware of God? Because like I said before, I think we box God. We go, oh, the only place I can really feel the presence of God is in church. And if that's the case for you, I go, there's more. I think that's a limitation. You should be able to go anywhere and stop for a moment and go, God's here. God's presence here. Why? Because he goes everywhere you go. He's in you. He wants you to be aware. And I think if we were more aware of God, I think we'd pray more. Just imagine, okay, get your imagination on, that suddenly you could see physically Jesus everywhere you went. If you could see him, you know, whenever you were anywhere, you could suddenly go, where's Jesus? And you'd see where he was standing. Would that change the way you did life? Would that change something? If at night, when you suddenly woke up and you looked around, oh, there's Jesus. He's right there in my room. Or when you're in work and you're struggling with somewhere and you just sort of look up, oh, look, Jesus, he's just sitting in the seat next to me. If your awareness of Jesus was greater, would it change the way you lived? And I'm convinced it is. And here's the thing, Jesus is with us everywhere we go. His Holy Spirit's going with us, and he wants to interact. He doesn't want to just stand there and observe. He wants to be a part of everything you do. So Jacob goes, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. And I've been going, God, there's so many places I walk, and I don't think I'm aware of you as much as I should be. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. You know, the result of me meditating on this is that I'm looking all the time going, where is the Holy Spirit? Where is God working in my life? I think if you've been a Christian for a long time, your relationship with God can become quite stale. And again, I've just been rethinking about creation and going, man, creation is just an amazing thing that the more I look at it, the more I go, there has to be a God. Sorry, I'm just moving this around a bit. There has to be a God, and that God's trying to talk to me through creation. Let me read you this, Romans 1, verse 19. They know that the truth about God, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Isn't that fascinating? That you and I, when we look at creation, it actually tells us about our Creator. I sort of had this sort of little revelation that, hey, if I want to know how God works, I should just have a look at how he's created creation to work. And our creation is just, it's magnificent in the way that it works. And it doesn't matter whether you go big or you go small. If you stand here and you look up into the stars, you're just blown away about the location of the earth. Even just the location of the earth to the distance of the sun is mind-blowing that it's at the right place. You do know that if it moved a little bit, we'd have more than climate change on our hands. Well, we'd have mega climate change on our hands. It is set in an amazing place, the right place. When you look at the creation of how everything interacts together, I did a little bit of studying because I've got this sort of fascination at the moment around sowing and reaping and how much of creation runs on sowing and reaping. Did you know that there's 300,000 types of plants in the world that they know? 300,000 plants. All these plants in creation work on different things, but most of them relate to seeds and fruit, and they have things like flowers that need bees, and we've got a few bee people in the people that do like bees. How many people like bees? Do bees like honey? The bees are I just get blown away about bees. But our whole creation is actually depending on these little bees. And if you've heard me before say, one of the biggest concerns they have, along with climate change, though, is the amount of bees dying out. And in Europe, they're thinking that it might be to do with cell phones and things like that. I think they're just trying to guess in the wind. But there's all these bees going missing. And they're going, this has a catastrophic effect because that's going to stop the food, stop things growing. And you just go, God, you have put this together incredibly. And your Holy Spirit is working through that and keeps it all together. One of my other favorite scriptures, and I hope I've got it here. Romans 11:36. For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Everything comes from him. And if you've seen me before, the triangle, everything we have has come from God. Everything exists through God. You take God out of creation and you get death. There's nothing. God keeps creation going. The oxygen in the air, the life in the plants, the life in everything. God keeps that going. You take God out and you don't have everything dies. It actually becomes darkness. Everything comes from God. And so the first thing that I want to talk about is I feel everything's connected. Everything's connected. Everything in your life is connected. We like to find one thing that means that's a key. You know how Christians, I don't know, we do have a tendency to try and find the key. If we could just find the key, if I could just find the key to financial blessing, if I could just find the key to healing, if I could just find this, and my conclusion is that everything is related. There's not just one key. There's not, everything's related in life. So as an example, you know, I'm a very pro, I can tell Victor is because he talked about it this morning, I'm very pro tithing. I believe that is what God has intended for us, that we give the first 10% back to him. I believe it's a way to live. Yeah. I believe that is a, let's put it, a divine system. It's the way that things work. But you can't just do one and think, well, then everything's going to be okay. I can't just go, well, tithing, that means that I'm going to be blessed in everything I do. No, there's some other things that will interact. Yeah. It's actually more like a web. It's more like a net where things are connecting. And sometimes as Christians, we do one thing, but we don't do the other thing that God says. Yeah. One of my favorite scriptures that I keep meditating on is that obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What does that mean to me? Well, I think we in our lives sometimes think that our sacrifice that we do for God means that we don't need to be obedient. But I believe that obedience to God is more important than the sacrifice you do. So one of the big issues for all of us is, what is God telling you to do? What is God speaking to you about right now? That is where you've got to be obedient. So I can be someone who's, oh, I'm a good boy, I'm doing all my tithing, but God's told me to do something else and I'm not living in obedience. I think it can affect what happens in my life. Obedience to God is all about being under his covering, under his blessing. When I'm disobedient, I walk outside. Now, again, if you use that as just a specific and go, well, does that mean if I sin, suddenly I'm away from God? No, I don't think it does, but I think everything's affecting it in our journey. And so for us as Christians, we've got to be going, I'm hearing from God and I'm being obedient to what God wants me to do now. I know God doesn't pick on everything in my life. I know he doesn't pick on everything in your life. You know, when we stand before God, we're all going to go, oh my goodness, there's so many things where, man, if I'd have known that, I'd have had them right in my life. But God only works on one or two things that are on us at the moment, you know, at any one time. And it's all about those things. You know, I've seen people that I've known are Christians for 15 years, and they're going, you know, I've been going along really well. I thought I was doing really well. And then suddenly God's put his finger on this area here right now. And I've been able to do all these things before, but now God said I've got to get that right. What is that? That's God's grace to us, that he knows, hey, I want to work with you as an individual and help you to grow. It's all about what's the next step. I'm not going to be judged according to and compared to you. You're not going to be judged compared to me. You and I are going to be judged compared to Jesus and what God wanted for our lives. That's what you'll get judged according to. So then you've got to go, what's God saying to me? What's God saying to you? What is God speaking to you about? And if you go, I don't know if he's actually speaking to you, I guarantee he is. It'll be that thing that you don't want him to speak to you about. It'll be that thing on your conscience now going, that's it. You're going, oh, I hope it's not that. No, no, I think it is that. God's talking to me about that. Do you know that's the most important thing for you at the moment? Everything's connected. Colossians 1:17 says, he existed before anything else and holds all creation together. See, unfortunately, we compartmentalize our lives. We just do it. We put our church life here, our work life here, our home life here, our friends here, and we at times just separate them all out. And I go, they're all having an effect. I do this thing, and I think I've spoken a little bit in church around life balance. And my theory is in life balance is that we probably get our life balance one day in the year where it's all balanced. The rest of the time, we're juggling our life. We're working on things. And everything within our lives is affecting it. So balance is actually a hard thing to do. And balance depends what's happening in our lives, but every area is affecting its other areas. Let me give you an example. Your health, I can guarantee, is affecting other areas of your life. So let's just simplify it. If you've got work and you've got health and you're sick, I can guarantee it's affecting your work. But I can also guarantee that if you're working too hard and you're all stressed out, it's affecting your health. They're connected. If you're, you know, if your thinking's just full of stuff all the time and you're stressed, it's affecting your health. But I would say, let's throw another one in there, that if you're stressed and it's affecting your health, it's probably affecting your relationships and your marriage. Let's do another one, finances. Your finances are a mess. I can guarantee that will be affecting your health. If you're stressed about something in your business, it will it be affecting your health. But your finances not right, they'll affect your home life. Do you know what the majority of divorces start over? Money. So you're having financial trouble here. It's affecting your family here. I think everybody needs to have a recreation, do something that feeds them. But if you're stressed at work, working too hard, your health's not very good, and your finances aren't good, well, then you might not do any recreation. And it's all a downward spiral. And I go, hey, look, you've just got to work in whichever area needs work. And look, we go through life in different seasons. I remember the single life season. I could do whatever I liked. What a great season that was. How many people remember that single life season? Some of you are scared to put up your hand because then you got married. Do you remember that season? And no kids. Oh, what a glorious season that was. A little bit harder because I had to die to myself a little bit. And Eleanor's not really into sport, which is a real... I just don't know what's wrong with her. So at that stage, the juggle was pretty easy. And then kids come along, and I'm not going to say anything more. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, hopefully not 5. Life changes, and you're juggling in different seasons. And what was a problem in one is no longer a problem now. Look, that's life, juggling and getting balance. Now, I go, it's the same in the spiritual realm. You see, we've got to keep getting balance in our lives. For some of us, our prayer life is amazing, but we don't read our Bible. For some of us, we read our Bible, but we don't meditate. For some of us, we study, but there's all these areas for finances. I go, it's a balance. Some of us are great at tithing, maybe, but we don't do any sowing. If you want to know my thing on money, I've been spending a bit of time thinking about it because every year around this time, we do a finance series. So I was thinking, God, what do you want to say about this finance series that we're sort of starting today, but we'll probably do throughout the month? I go, what do you want to say about that? And I felt God say, look, people have got to look at all the areas of life and get them in balance. And it's not just one thing. It's not just tithing. I think tithing's a part of it. But I always think that you need to be looking at, what are you consuming? You've all got to consume something. You've all got to eat. Does everybody eat? Let's just check that. We all eat. So and we all need to be able to consume on ourselves. You need, like, it's not good if you don't eat. It's not good if you don't look after yourself. It's not good if you don't wash. It has major effects of the people around you. There's a whole lot of things that you need to live in a house. We want everybody to live in a house. So the stuff that you've got to have to look after yourself. God wants you to look after yourself. The Bible talks a lot about eating the fruit of your hands. In agriculture, so everybody needed to be able to eat, and the fruit that came made a big difference. So you've got to be able to eat. I believe that and you've also got to be able to invest for the future. There's a lot in the Bible about saving for the next generation and giving to the next generation and setting up the next generation. There's a lot about being resourceful and producing. I think we're all called to produce. God wants you to produce. Or the parable of the talent, the one that he got a bit annoyed with. Annoyed might be a bit of an understatement. Was the one who did nothing with what he had and stored. So I go, hey, I want to be able to tithe. I want to be able to invest. I want to be able to consume. And I go, I also think you want to be able to give. You want to be able to give. And all of us sitting here go, we know, if I gave you $1,000 tomorrow and said, I want you to go give this to a need, every person in this room would go, oh yeah, I know what I'd give that to. I would expect. Yeah, we all know there's needs out there that would be great for us to be able to give. And I feel that all those things are important. And at one stage, God speaks to us about them all. Certain stages, God talks about your excess in your life. Oh, you've got so much excess. What are you doing with your excess? Do you really need that? I know with God every now and again speaks to me about, what am I doing? Because I'm accountable. I'm a steward of what I have. You're a steward of what you have. Every bit. So we've got. So, you know, look, I look at my life and go, I've been an active tither all my life. Active tither. But I've got into financial trouble a couple of times. And you go, well, hold on, why is that, Alan? Don't you think that God blesses you with tithe? Yes, I do. But if you've heard me talk, I've nearly gone bankrupt twice. Ooh, that makes it all quiet, doesn't it? And you go, well, what is that, Alan? And the more I look at it, I look at all sorts of things and go, yeah, I was in obedience. I definitely, with tithing, I feel it was a God thing I did. But you know, I felt in one of the cases, I got greedy. It became more about greed in my heart, and God needed to teach me a lesson in my heart. And so I go, that's another factor that could affect me. I'm doing all the right things, but this area where God starts to speak to me about greed, I go, oh, okay, I need to deal with that. Another one is... if you read Proverbs, I went guarantor for someone. I don't know if you know the proverb. Let me read it to you so you know. It's an interesting proverb, one that I'd read a few times. Hold on, where is it? It is in here. I know it's in here. Proverb. No, not that one. Here we go. Proverbs 11:15 says this. There's danger in putting up security for a stranger's debt. It's safer not to guarantee another person's debt. Now, again, I'm tithing, I'm doing all this. I get involved in a business thing and I just sign two pieces of paper. I don't put any money in, and it turns to disaster and I'm liable. And I go, okay, God, you're teaching me something. And it taught me a lesson that, hey, I've got to be continually following God's ways. there is a whole lot of things within the Word of God that talks about that, that makes it so that you and I are safe. And we've got to be going, I'm listening to God and I know what the Scriptures say. So what I want you to do is close your eyes so you're not distracted by the musicians coming up. And take a moment. Don't worry about him. He's okay. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And go, God, what do you want to say to me? What is it that God wants to say to you this morning? It might even start right to the start where out of a random thing I went about, are you excited about life? And you thought, man, I stayed seated. Why did I stay seated? It could be anything. What is the thing that God's challenging you on? It might be to do with your finances. It might be to do with your life balance. My challenge to you is you need to be obedient to what God is saying to you. Holy Spirit, right now, I pray that you would speak to hearts here. Speak to hearts. Lord, let your Holy Spirit flow. Holy Spirit, come. Touch us. Lord, I pray for each person here, whatever it is that you put your finger on, that you'd help them to be able to change whatever they need to change. Lord, that they know you're walking with them. Father, I pray if they need someone to talk to, Lord, that you just even show them who to talk to. If they need some advice in an area, Lord, I pray right now that wisdom would flow. Lord, I pray, teach us. Lord, we want to know your ways. We want to live your ways. Like Victor said, we want to live at a higher level. Lord, help us to trust you in everything. Lord, if that is the journey that we're on, where we're learning to trust you despite what happens, despite the outcomes,